for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Sunday evening service of September the 1st, 1996. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. David Freck is the teacher of the evening.
Their movement is effortless. It's not based on their ability to flap their wings. It's based on the ability to find the current and flow with it. Now, how many knows what the current is? It's the Holy Spirit. Are we trying to... I can't even preach everything. I got pages. No, I won't do that to you. I won't waste it. I appreciate it. Okay. Still early, right. Bless your heart. Look at this. So the first quality, are you hearing me? The first quality is humility. The second quality, they're walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They have not their own way. The third quality, swift to move at God's command, and finding the currents not in their own efforts, but through the presence and power and discernment of God. They move. You seeing the picture? Now, I just don't want to preach at you. I want you to get some things deposited in you tonight. Now, look at this. What is distinctive about this? They minister where? Before the throne of God. You want to know what's so significant about us? Is that we have lost sight of where we are to minister. We have no conviction about where we are ministering when we are ministering. Did you hear what I said? Brother Phil, when you start playing that piano, you're not playing to people. Right. You're not even ministering to them. The character of what you're doing has got to be before the throne. And if it's that, guess what it'll do? It'll minister to the people. Hallelujah. You see, if I'm preaching as being wholly held by the administration that I'm standing before the throne of God, then if what I'm doing is accurate based on that, you will be blessed. If it is not, then this is fluff and puff and we can find something better to do with a Sunday evening. Have you figured out that I have become so convicted about the whole character of ministry that I can't even walk in some kind of a false sense of let's put on a show? Yeah. Listen, saints, I traveled for years. I started with Brother Shambach. I know what it is to minister in churches all across the country and around the world. And I know the pressure, especially if there's any kind of giftings or charismata to what God has put in you, that immediately people begin to cling to those giftings and begin to expect a performance. I refuse to perform. I will not perform because that's not what God's called me to do. I won't bless, pamper, coddle, encourage for just the sake of doing it. But there's got to be an eminent conviction that I am ministering before the throne of God. And if that eminent conviction is there, then I will persevere with Him and you will consequently receive something not temporal, but something eternal. I want something to happen through this camp meeting. I want something to happen with me, with what everybody else has preached and ministered. I want you to walk out of here with something that you won't forget 3 days from now. I want you to walk out of here with an experience, with a notion, with an inclination, with an anointing that you will not lose in a matter of days or hours or weeks or months, but something that is eternally in place inside your spirit where you are revolutionized. That's my desire. That's my call. That's my purpose. If we're doing it for any other reason, listen, I believe we have to minister eternity. If we don't minister eternity, then what is it? It's temporal. It has no lasting value. If my preaching is temporal, then let's shut it down. If our praying is temporal, let's close it up. If our singing is temporal, if our worship is temporal, if the character of the things that we do before the throne of God, let's throw it out with the garbage. Because all it's doing is satisfying that which is temporal. And what is that? Flesh. All right, now look at this. The first quality of their worship. Now let's look at what they're doing. They're ministering before what? The throne. I am trying to hurry. They're ministering before the throne. And look what happens. Look at the character of what they're shouting. They're shouting to one another. Verse 3. They're declaring this to one another. Holy, holy, holy. Why are they doing it to one another and not to God? Because God already knows He's holy. You ever figured that out? God knows He's holy. When you say holy, 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 I know it. That's my character. It's my nature. I'm holy. Can't be anything else but. Why are they doing it to one another? Because they're in constant... Listen to this. This has to do with accountability. Accountability, exhortation, and encouragement. That I covenant with you that I'm going to remind you that you're standing before and ministering before a holy God. And I will be accountable to that God and to you to keep you ever mindful of the profundity of His glory. How much of our comfort and exhortation isn't based on the throne at all? It's based on a quick satisfaction so we can go to McDonald's and get a hamburger. I got one good amen out of a whole bunch of you. If you can't say amen, say ouch. Now look at this. Oh my. So the first quality is they're shouting one to another, and what are they saying? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. So what is their character? This is expressions of worship. What is their worship? First of all, it's flowing out of who they are. They are what? They are fiery. In other words, their worship is incandescent. When they begin to worship God, it lights the area that they are worshiping in. Are you hearing me? That's why Paul and Silas at midnight lit up their darkened jail cell. How did they do it? With incandescent worship. You want to enlighten the darkness of your circumstance and situation? Get into a little incandescent worship. What does incandescent mean? God says you are the what? Light of the world. You're incandescent. What does light mean? The most significant characteristic of light that I have found, at least as it impresses my spirit, is that light is transparent. You see through it. Can't see through darkness. That means my worship must be transparent. In other words, that I am not worshiping with veils, with walls, with platitudes, with assumptions, with a pseudo spirituality. If I'm hitting anybody, just stop me at any time. But I'm worshiping God transparently. Think about this. David is bringing in the presence of God. And what does he do? He makes himself naked before it. And humiliates not himself, but his wife, because of it. That's incandescent worship. And it was a part of making David a man after God's own heart. Well, if I start dancing and shouting, people will look at me funny. Well, if I get real expressive in the way I praise him, people might be offended. Let me tell you, if it's incandescent, it has the character of true transparency. It will not offend anybody of a spiritual character. I was blessed. I watch people. When I'm worshiping God, I'll peek. I'm checking you out. That one's pretty transparent. Well, that one's doing it with their whole heart. I'll check you out. I'm judging. Shame on me. Okay, I'm not called to judge anything. Well, I am called to judge a few things. But I'm a fruit inspector. So you'll know them by their
fruit. Yeah, I'm fruit inspecting. I'm checking it out.
Amen.
Well, okay. All right, I'm hearing. You don't believe that, I know. Holy, holy, holy represents what? Witnessed and established holiness experienced from God. In other words, what is holy? Awful, an awful thing. God recognizes that our worship must be incandescent and transparent before Him, but it must have the character of His very nature. And we must declare that nature, and it must be prophetic in its profundity. And represent witnessed and established holiness is experienced before God. The second quality of their worship is that they worship God entirely with their whole heart, with their whole mind, with their whole soul, with their whole strength. They reserve nothing, but they lay it all before Him. In other words, they make their worship a whole burnt offering. How much do you leave to yourself in worship? And how much do you lay before God? And that distinguishes the character of your worship. Now let me share this with you. The sacrifice of praise. We love that verse of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 13. Right? Let us therefore offer unto God the sacrifice of praise continually, which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. You know, can I destroy a misconception, at least that I have? Many of you have probably already got this revelation. But you want to know what? When I was thinking about the sacrifice of praise, I always considered that, you know, when I don't feel like it, when I'm tired, when I'm wore out, that's the sacrifice of praise. You know, I do it when I don't want to do it, when I don't feel like doing it, when it's hard to do, that's when I do it. Anybody ever had that concept? Okay, some of you are afraid to raise your hands because you think I'm going to get on your case. I'm not going to, because I had the same concept. But you want to know, I checked out what it's so open, it's so obvious. You know what the sacrifice is? In the Old Testament, the sacrifice was the best of the flock. It was the pure, unblemished, unspotted, completely pure, perfect one of the flock. In fact, not only that, but before it was offered, even though it looked good on the outside, the priest would even take the lamb and open its mouth. See, there were any spots in his mouth. Look under his tongue. Check his hooves. And God says, let us offer to God the sacrifice. It's not your leftovers. God don't want your wore out, leftover, tired, skinny stuff. He wants your best. He doesn't just want it. He demands it. And if you offer Him anything else, it's an abomination. Can we deal with that? Can we even judge the character of our worship when we think we're doing such a service to God? When in fact we're offering to Him everything that makes Him sick? Oh, Lord, I'm tired and I'm wore out, but I'm going to praise You anyhow. We think that's an acceptable offering. We convinced ourselves that we were holy and we were spiritual in doing it. Is anybody seeing the deception of it? That's not the sacrifice at all. It's because I will enter. You better not come in here and try and work it up. You better walk in with it. The priest didn't show up at the gate and say, you know, I'm looking for a good sacrifice. Anybody got one in here? Do you hear that? But how many of us come to church, you know, I just didn't think I could praise the Lord, so I'm coming to church and trying to find some joy. Even the PA system don't like that. I'm probably running out of juice. I'm talking too long again. Are you hearing this? The sacrifice, the third quality.
You cannot praise God without being vocal.
I'm praising Him in my heart.
Hogwash.
God never asked it from your heart. He asked it from your mouth. Because He knew if He could get it out of your mouth, it would be produced in your heart. Because out of the abundance of the speak. See, you can't praise God with your mouth and not have your heart in it. God knew that. That's why he demanded it. He didn't say when you come into church, be perfectly silent, but worship me in your heart. If I had $10,000, I'd challenge you to find a scripture on it. I'm shutting it down right now because God wants to bring us into the seraph anointing. I'm going to anoint people tonight for the seraph servanthood. God's put it in my spirit to do this tonight. The whole earth is full of His glories. What is the quality of this vocal worship and this vocal praise? It is prophetic in its character and its utterance. What did they say? They said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts," declaring him as the God of the armies, recognizing him as the leader, the file leader of all warfare, and the progenitor of every victory. Are you hearing me? They declare him holy in his leadership as warrior, mighty warrior, dressed for battle. Then the second quality of it is that the whole earth is full of his glory. That's prophetic. The whole earth is full of, they're pronouncing God's manifest glory upon the entirety of the earth. The Bible tells me the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The enemy's trespassing. Every bar that's been set up is trespassing on God's property. Every house of prostitution is set. They're trespassing. Every crack house. That's the Lord's place. This is the earth. And the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The cattle on the thousand hills are his. The gold in the hills are there. Everything that's a part of this earth belongs to him. Oh, I tell you, I know that there's a prince in this world and the prince of the power of this earth. But that has nothing to do with the earth. That has to do with the world system, the mentality of carnality, the character of flesh. I'm here to tell you, God wants us to reclaim, and we will reclaim this earth with the glory of the Lord. The description of the seraph servant, I've already shared with you, but I want you to know something. They have a mouth. Their voice, their message is penetrating and dissettling. Did you hear that? It's penetrating and dissettling. You want to know what something, saints? I'm stopping right here once I get to this last point. The vocabulary and the language of the seraph servant is so pure, so full of fire, so anointed of God, that it dissettles anything that isn't walking in parallel with it. In other words, you will immediately make enemies of pseudo-Christian brothers and sisters. They will judge you as being holier than thou when you have not spoken out of that character at all. They will remand you as being out of order, inappropriate, unloving, non-compassionate, when that is not the character of what's flowing out of you at all. But they can't discern it because they're not walking in the spirit of it. And because they're not walking in the spirit of it, you have immediately set yourself up for difficulty, distress, and persecution. Don't ever come to me. You will never be able to point your finger at me and say, "You never warned me." I will not have your blood on my hands. And it is true, saints, that if you want to go on with God, you're going to leave a lot of people behind you. That's just the character of it. Going on with God requires that you have to leave things sometimes. Abraham had to leave what? Nation and country and kindred and tribe and land. Didn't he? If he was going to go on with God, he had to leave those things. And that's the character of it all. Sometimes we gotta walk on, recognize that this might be lonely sometimes. We might feel like we're by ourselves sometimes, but I want you to assure yourself with these. God has 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to this Baal. You're not alone. There are other people who have the same heart. Hasn't it amazed you as you've watched the collection of people from all over the country that have the same heart, the same conviction, the same sense of what God's doing this last day as you? And they're sitting next to you in a place called Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Where are we? We're somewhere in Arkansas. Where are we? Hot Springs. We're in Hot Springs, Arkansas. I tell you, I've been so many places the last few weeks, I have no clue where I'm at. I'm just supposed to preach. I'm just getting up and preaching. I don't care about where I'm at, what I'm doing. I'm just preaching. Less than a week ago. Now I was in Minnesota. I was preaching in some camp in Minnesota. I had no idea where I was. Still to this day, don't know the name of the place. I don't know where I'm going tomorrow. Where am I going? I'm here tomorrow. Thank God I'm here. Praise God, I'm here. I'm glad I'm not going anywhere tomorrow. I'm going to be here tomorrow. Praise God. Unless Glenn kicks me out of here, I'll be here. All right. Now look at this. One last thing, the distinctiveness of his hands. The Bible says that he took with some tongs a fiery coal from off of the altar. The altar is incense. What is he holding the fiery coal with? His hands. He's holding the fiery coal with his hands. How many has ever tried to hold a fiery coal with your hand? Now, what I understand is as it relates to temperatures, I can handle something up to 100, 120, maybe even 125 degrees. But it starts to exceed that much above my body temperature, and my hand begins to burn. The only way that I can handle something hotter than what my body temperature can handle is I have to elevate my body temperature. In other words, it takes fire to handle fire. And the incense, the altar, the coal off the altar is the altar of incense. Incense has been descriptive of two things in the scripture. It's been descriptive of prayer, and it's been descriptive of worship. And so the whole character of intercession, prayer, and worship is that it is being handled by those that have the same level of intensity as God purposes it upon his altar. In other words, they are at the same temperature, spiritually speaking, as the altar's temperature, which is perfect praise, worship, and prayer before him. Did you see the line that I drew? It was kind of wordy. But in other words, if that altar represented perfect praise and perfect prayer as acceptable before the Lord, isn't that right? God demanded it, and it had to be changed every day. Twice a day, they had to service it. They had to light new incense on that altar. And it went up before the Lord how often? Continually. It was to never go out. And that fire, that coal, that heat was perfect before the Lord. And so for the angel of the Lord to take a coal off of it, or for the seraph servant to take a coal off of that altar and place it on the lips of the prophet, he had to be at the same temperature. In other words, his character, his spirituality, his call, his ministry was of the same spiritual heat as that which was perfect before God. It takes fire to handle fire. You know, how many have longed to run into somebody that was on fire for God? Now, I'm going to spank you a little bit. Why aren't you the one that's on fire? Why are you looking for somebody on fire when you're the one supposed to be on fire? Hey, brother, it's good to see an on fire man of God. And a fire preacher. Somebody's fired up for him, and I'm glad I am. I'm not as hot as I want to be, though. I want to be a lot hotter. I want to be so hot you can't stand to be around me. I want to be so hot every time I speak, you go, oh, it hurts. It's like standing next to a blast furnace. It's how hot I want to be. And we look for somebody on fire. We want an on-fire church. We want an on-fire pastor. We want an on-fire prayer ministry. We want an on-fire youth group. We want an on-fire women's group. And we are looking for the fire where God says, I want to create it in you. I want you to be the fire. I want you to be the seraph servant. Because fire begets fire. And if I get the fire of God, if I walk and emanate the fire of God, then those around me will begin to become contagioned with it. It will either draw them into it. How many of those critters that are drawn by the light, the fire, and they become consumed by it? Or it'll drive them from it. Something distinctive about fire is you can't be passive about it. You have to respond to it, either running to it or running from it. But you have to have a response. I wanted my preaching to be a fire. I want it to be a fire. And you have to respond to it. You can't be satisfied with patting me on the back and saying, good message, preacher. But you got to go into me. You got to come up to me. You got to say, God, look deep into my soul today. God pointed his finger on my spirit and said something distinctive into me that I have to deal with. I've been confronted with the heavens. I want it to be a fire, Brother Glenn. I want this camp to be a fire. I want you to be a fire. Not just with a fire of a deliverance ministry or the fire of a prophetic gifting or the fire of an anointing of some distinctive kind, but a general fire that is based in the presence of God, filled with the character of God and emanating his very nature and glory. The fire of God. Incense had a twofold meaning, and those twofold meanings, worship and prayer. If you have the fire, you can handle the fire. And that's why the Bible, I want you to, and I'm going to give you a verse of scripture that you can consider what I just said on. You shall go through the fire and not be burned. How's that possible? Unless you're as hot as the fire that you're going through. That's right. Because they were as hot as the seven time hotter furnace. You go through the fire and not be burned if you're on fire. Are you getting this? If you're not on fire, it's going to singe you a little bit. Oh, glory! The intensity of the heat determines the character of the metal. Gold takes a lighter, less intense heat than iron. If we are gold in our character, then the heat required to make us pliable is less significant. If we are iron in our character, it takes a greater intensity of heat to make us bendable and moldable. The question today is, what kind of metal are you? Are you easily and significantly molded based on the fires of God? Or does it take a greater intensity to bring you into a moldedness? See, I was iron before India. Not sure what I am now. Because it took a great intensity to make me pliable. And some of you say, I don't understand all this trouble and tribulation, difficulty, distress. I don't know why God can't take it easy on me. Because you made a commitment to be molded into His image. And He's going to make certain, based on that covenant, that the fire will be intense enough to make sure that happens. Some of you say, I don't understand all this trouble and tribulation, difficulty, distress. I don't know why God can't take it easy on me. Because you made a commitment to be molded into His image. And He's going to make certain, based on that covenant, that the fire will be intense enough to make sure that happens. Give us an intensity in the fire. You ready to be a Seraph servant? Somebody who has this kind of character, this kind of anointing, this kind of response to God, that operates in this kind of effectualness in before His throne, as it relates to worship, as it relates to servanthood, as it relates to the throne, as it relates to His kingdom, as it relates to the ministry, to the preacher, and to the fivefold ministry. Are you ready for this kind of an outpouring? Are you ready for this kind of a demonstration? Are you ready to make yourself available to it? Then tonight, God's got a purpose. He wants to fill us and make us Seraph servants. He wants to make us Seraph servants. Would you stand to your feet and just lift your hands and let's find the sacrifice of praise. Let's find it. Let's find it tonight. The sacrifice of praise. Let's find it in Jesus' name. Let's find the sacrifice of praise. Come on, the sacrifice. Give Him your best tonight. Give Him your best tonight. I know it's late. I know you might be tired, but find the best in you. Find the best. Find the acceptable thing. Find the acceptable thing. Find the acceptable thing tonight.
Lord our God, we just praise You and we thank You. We thank You for Your presence this night. We thank You for coming into our very house this night, Lord. We thank You for hearts that have turned to You and have allowed You to be Lord this night. Now as we seek our bed this night, continue Your work to burn through all of the things that we have accumulated in our flesh, Lord, and those things that we desire to get rid of this night. Touch us afresh and anew. Let this continue to be a work that goes on and on within us, as we have just heard that this place will go on and on. We now dismiss Your blessing, and we praise You and we thank You, for we do it all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.